God's just there, and he will always be there. And not only there, but like he's there, arms open wide, just like I am if my kids mess up and they want to run to me.
Welcome to Diary of the Mom Squad with Kate and Brittany. Tune in for insights into the hilarious, heartfelt, and often chaotic world of motherhood, where no one has everything figured out and we all need a whole lot of Jesus. So grab a cup of coffee, take a break, and join this crazy journey together. This is Diary of the Mom Squad, where moms connect, support, and thrive.
On this episode of Diary of the Mom Squad, we are joined with Crystal George and Ashley Little to talk about fostering and adoption. Thank you guys for joining us this morning.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Woohoo.
Yeah, and if you didn't know, November is National Adoption Month. So that was kind of what got this conversation started a little bit, because I know some rock star moms in my life who are adoptive moms. And I'm like, yeah, we need to have some conversations yes. with these women because we can glean some information and some wisdom from the lives that you all are living. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, we're excited. Yeah.
So Crystal, we'll start with you. Why don't you introduce yourself and your kid?
My name is Crystal. I am 46, which is very sad for me. And I have one daughter, and she is turning 21 this week, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, she's senior at Radford.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And Ashley, how about you?
I'm Ashley. I have 10 kids total. Wow. So I say it like that because we break it down. I've got 2 step kiddos, 6 adopted, and 2 bio.
Wow. So. Awesome.
So never a dull moment in your house ever.
Yes. No.
What are the age ranges?
They are 17 to 12 months old.
Wow.
My littlest just turned 1. So
that's amazing. So what led you to want to adopt?
I think for me, we started out, my husband and I, well, I was a single foster parent before we got married. And then the reason why I started fostering wasn't for kiddos, honestly. Mm-hmm. It was to minister and to walk alongside the birth parents and mm-hmm. the moms and dads that were just in like a really dark spot. So I never really started out I want to adopt all these kiddos. I actually want to help the parents. And the kids are I like to say they're like the cherry on top. They're easy to love. Well, they bring their stuff, but the parents are we just see them through a different lens sometimes. So we wanted to do it like a ministry like that. And we still do. So we have parents over for holidays and birthdays and things like that. So
is the goal of fostering ultimately to get them back with the parent?
Yes. Okay. Always the number one gold star goal is to get them reunified with their parents. So and that's what we are champion always to get mm-hmm. them with their parents. And if it doesn't work out, then we still try to keep their parents in their lives as much as we can.
Very that's cool. Awesome. What about you, Crystal?
I think I never set out to be an adoptive parent, mm-hmm. actually, or a foster parent, either one. We fostered for a year through a private agreement with the parent. And then when that was done, I was kind of I think we're done. And it just worked out that God put us together in a situation where she needed to be with us. Yeah. So I had no plans or intentions of doing any of the above.
All. Yeah. In fact, and your story is unique too, because like you said, your daughter's getting ready to turn 21.
Mm-hmm.
So your adoption was obviously a little bit later
yes.
in that story. So mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that feels mm-hmm. like.
Yeah, she came to live with us when she was 15. And honestly, I will say, I think every situation is unique and different, but she was great. I love having a teenager. Listen to me. My sleep is good.
Yeah.
I started driving shortly after.
Yes.
This is great. I have hit the parenting peak and pinnacle here.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so I think that every child is different. So every parenting story is different. Mm-hmm. But we were blessed in that she's super mature and self-aware and has always been very goal-oriented and driven. So the transition for us has not been hard into being a family of 3. It's been good.
Yeah. Now, Ashley, you mentioned you've got a very blended situation mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. bio kids, step kids, adopted kids.
Mm-hmm.
How do they all get along? Do you feel like the dynamic in the house is is there a lot going on all the time?
All the
what
time.
Does that look like?
All the time. There's a lot going on just because of our sheer numbers. So if everybody has a perfect day, it's still oh, my word.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot going on, too, because we have our 6 youngest are 6 and under.
Ooh.
And then we can go further, our five youngest are four and under. Then we have, we're almost to the point in the year where we're going to have 3 3-year-olds at the same time. And if you guys know anything about 3-year-olds, just pray for us.
Yeah. What is it? They're three-nagers? Is that the term now?
three is interesting.
I have a 2.5-year-old and I'm like entering into that phase and she's getting sassy and I'm like, please don't.
Let's just say I celebrate their 3-year-old birthday really big and then we just like plow through it. So dynamics can be really tricky. And they have been, I think, tricky for us. Every family is unique. But for us, like with me entering into a dynamic of already having stepkids and then I got married with foster children. And so them having to blend while, you know, dad is blending with stepmom, you know, so. It caused for a lot of speed bumps, we'll call it that. But I think some of the best advice, like for me, that I got, like with my stepkids specifically, was that I was trying to come in and be like, not a parent to them, but like kind of, you know, work around like the parenting, coaching kind of aspect. And the best advice I got was like to step back and just be the babysitter. And so that like really helped to where I'm like, okay, like that's not me. I just have to make sure like they're entertained and safe. Got it.
There you go.
And so that's kind of how like that's helped with all of our dynamics. I think it's like trickled down a little bit where like I'm like, okay, we just need to have fun and be safe. And that's the end goal. And we don't. Yeah. The dynamics are interesting. But now we've gotten to like a really good space. Like they know like our kids that came to us from adoption, like they know that they have been adopted. They know they have two moms, two dads. They know their names. We pray for them often. We talk about them, have pictures, all that. So there's no like difference. I think my two biological kids, they get a little bit left out. They feel that a little bit where they're like, where, oh, is that my mommy too? And I'm like, nope. I'm
no,
like, sorry, it's just me. Like, I'm really sorry about that.
You just get one.
Yeah, you just get one. So there's that interesting dynamic that I wasn't expecting that one, you know?
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. But for dynamics wise, the kids get along pretty well.
Awesome. And what would you say the process is like going through, like if somebody does like want to adopt or foster to adopt, what is that process like? And was it challenging and difficult or was it kind of easy? Or is it different for every kid?
I'll go first. Our process was super unique. We never went through the foster care system. So I wasn't like a trained foster parent. The way that Dee came to live with us was just, it was just a unique situation, and CPS just asked us if she could stay. And so I'll say the most difficult part was navigating the court systems because the city is different than the counties and they all have their different things. And when we were ready to move toward adoption pretty shortly after getting custody, I think Campbell County we had a racist judge. He made our process much more difficult than it needed to be. And the hard part of that wasn't for me as a mom, because I was like, that's fine, we can wait till she's 18 or whatever. It was for her and watching her, because she wanted the adoption, really struggle because we couldn't get the security that was for her. So we had to wait till she turned 18 and go back to Lynchburg City to get the adoption finalized. So that for me was the difficult part, was navigating the court system with a child who was aware and had her own needs and desires that she wanted met.
How has like adopting a child of a different race, how has that been?
Again, I think it's different for every family, but I think when you have interracial adoption, it's really, really important to listen to the child and to think about what they need and want, and to not expect your interracial child to be your racial identity. I think because, you know, as white women, we often think, because we're the majority, we just kind of live in our bubble and we think this is how everything is and everyone thinks this way. And that's just not true. And especially when you have an older child coming from a different racial identity and a different cultural identity, learning about the identity, making sure that the child feels, and I don't know that I've always done that super well, but I've always tried. So I think that's really, really important. Even things as small as like how you do hair or what kind of food you eat, like all of those things are really important. And it's important to tell your kid, especially if they're older, that their things are important.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ashley, your process, we've already said, was a little bit different than Crystal's, for sure, and how you approached that. So tell us a little bit maybe about what the process looked like for you and what you would give as advice to somebody else maybe looking to get into fostering and adopting.
Yeah, so I went through all the fun foster care classes. I went through Lynchburg City, which I can't say enough good things about Lynchburg City DSS. I just had a really good experience with them. Not perfect, right? Like nothing's perfect, but the way that they handled even the not perfect things that happened that I brought up, they handled that well. So that says a lot to me. So went through them, did like, I think it's 8 weeks of classes to learn how to be a foster parent, which I mean, it prepares you, but like not really.
Right.
Like, I mean, anything can try to prepare you. I think they try to do the best that they can. And then I was a single foster mom. So I got my first call. I got a sibling group of three kiddos and they were with me for 8 months or so. They reunified with family. So we like did a big like, yay.
Yeah.
So that's always super exciting. And I think what I tell people like with wanting to get into foster care specifically, if you want to get into foster care, get in it for the reasons to champion families staying together and not champion, oh, we've got this precious kid. We don't want them to move. Of course you don't want them to move like out of your home. You've fallen in love with them, right? But like their mom and dad love them just as much, if not more than you do.
Right.
And I like to say like we're all just one step away from one yes or one no away from where the birth parents are at the moment of like the child needs to be in placement. So it's been very humbling. That's been like my own little journey of foster care because here I am like, oh, I'm going to get into it and work with the parents and like help them and like be this great, you know, not the savior, but like a little bit of that mentality of like, okay, I'm going to do the right thing. Yay. Which is not bad per se, but I think my perspective has changed of, okay, just because I have this, this, this doesn't mean that I'm the best for that child. And the best is sometimes not always biological family, but that's what I tell people who are asking me about foster care, which I don't come in it with like rainbows and puppies and butterflies of like, yes, you should totally do it. But I come in with reality of like, okay, like here's if you really want to do foster care and do it well, we need to hold these kids as they're not your kids. They're not been given to you by God. And God is a God for the family. And he placed those children biologically with their birth parents. So like being able to champion the family staying together and being healthy and whole, like that's been my little journey of foster care and such. But it's great.
Well, and what a good perspective. You know, I think adoption is awesome. Adoption, I think, has, you know, we see biblical pictures of adoption all throughout scripture as well. And what that looks like to be grafted into a family tree, you know, from outside of it and that kind of thing. But what a statement to be able to just be really honest about it and say it's not all puppies and kittens and rainbows and unicorns all the time. And it is difficult. And, you know, I've got several other adoptive families in my life that I've known throughout different seasons. And I think the one thing that it always comes back to is exactly what you all have just mentioned, that it never goes according to plan. It never looks like what you're thinking, maybe that the structure should look like. And there's always something else to be learned and something that's changing, and it's a hard journey. So just shout out to you too for saying yes to something that is difficult. And we've had the privilege of being able to watch you do it. And so I just love the way that God has written each of your stories and the way you all continue to share that with people. So thank you for that.
Thank you guys so much. And like being a parent, you know, really does change you. So how do you feel like your lives have changed since becoming moms?
A teenager will reflect everything back to you that you are.
Amen.
So, I found out that I was a little bit, I mean, just like a more of a bold personality, quiet, but like strong and bold. And so I didn't realize I had people pleasing in me as much as I did until I had this teenager. And I was like, wow, I really want her to like me. There were a few times where I had to put that down and think through like what's actually more important is what's best for her, not what makes me comfortable. And so that was one way where God was like, here's a little mirror and look at this part of your personality I want to change. So that for me, that's one really clear, direct way I saw him use it in my life.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know. That's a hard question for me because it feels like once I became a mom, it's like I don't recognize myself, if that makes sense, in some ways. Mm-hmm. In good ways, like that can be not good. But, like in good ways, like I don't recognize like how I started this motherhood journey because it was different. I didn't start out with biological kids. Mm-hmm. I started out in the courtroom. That's mm-hmm. how I became a mom legally. So yeah, I think for me, how I look different or how God has changed me is being like able to carry their junk. That's been something that's been true from foster parenting till now. Mm-hmm. Is that like when my kiddos are, I have a lot of toddlers. So when they're throwing like big tantrums in outside or they're acting out, where some of them, they act out their trauma. So yeah, it's going to be lots of screaming that looks to someone who doesn't know me and my story, looks to be a little bit intense, right? Mm-hmm. Like I have a 4-year-old throwing mulch at me because I won't sing a song with her or something. You know, like just like the action doesn't necessarily meet the inaction, we'll mm-hmm. say. Mm-hmm. And so they overreact at times, and that stems back from their trauma and their stuff that they bring to the table in being a kid. And so for me, I used to like a little bit of people pleasing kind of, but like I used to like try to control that in a way and be like, okay, you know, we got to chill out. We got to, because I wanted to look like, or, you know, you always want to, when you're in public, mm-hmm. you want to look yep. like you've got it all together. But it's hard to do that when you have like 8-year-olds acting out that way, mm-hmm. like a toddler. And so I had to learn really quick that I need to give that safe space to my kids. And so that's kind of how God has changed me in that way of like, okay, I don't care what Sally at the playground thinks of me and my parenting. I'm just going to be patient and consistent with my kiddo while they're doing this. And that's been a good like reflection of me, like with the Lord, is like whenever I'm just over here acting a fool, like God's just there and consistent and patient and waiting until yeah. I'm like, okay, I just need a hug. Like yeah. that's yeah. it. And so, yeah, so that's kind of a long story, but big ways of how God's changed me.
What would you say you have learned the most about God's personality through being an adoptive mom? Maybe what is the thing that just really reaches out to you and says, this is what I've learned about Jesus in the middle of all of this?
Mm. Oh, man. I think that the biggest thing would be that he's just there. Doesn't matter what I do, because it doesn't matter what my kids do. I'm mm-hmm. still there. Mm-hmm. I'm still there in my humanity, so I'm like might be grumbling about it, and I might be like, eye roll and everything, but God's just there, and he will always be there. And not only there, but like he's there, arms open wide, just like I am if my kids mess up and they want to run to me. It's just, he's just good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think something similar just about how much I'm loved. It's just a deeper understanding of being loved, mm-hmm. I think, for me, of thinking about how much I love my daughter and how sometimes I can step back and look at her life's journey so far and see all the potential ahead. But whether that's whether she has a great day or a bad day or, an, you know, whatever she's facing or going through or feeling, I love her. And like Ash said, like, that's how I'm loved. Yeah. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, I think it's just a deeper sense of that security.
Very That's cool. awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us and for talking about your journeys into parenthood and for being a part of the Mom Squad.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to Diary of the Mom Squad. Tune in next time for more stories, more laughter, and the reminder that we always need more Jesus. You got this, Mom.